Good evening and welcome to Outsources. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth, and this evening in the studio with me is Paul Chansenthong, who is co-owner of Cafe Urban and Urban Thai, both in the south part of Longmont in a place called Prospect. So welcome, Paul.
Thank you.
You may remember, listeners, that a while back, Paul and Edward came on to the show and talked a bit about Thailand. They had led a tour to Thailand, and in fact, they're going to be going back in the fall.
Yes, we are.
And leading a tour to where?
This time we're going to go, of course, it's going to be Thailand, and we're going to go into Cambodia, which is one of the amazing places to see, or I would say a place to go before you die.
So definitely should be on everybody's bucket list,
exactly.
Along with Thailand, which is where you were born and raised.
Exactly.
So part of the focus tonight is really about continuing some of the exploration of stories of immigration here in the United States. And so many of us immigrated at some time in our lives or in our family's histories somewhere. So we wanted to hear a little bit about Paul and his story of coming to the United States and settling and staying here to build a life. And lucky for us, Urban Thai and Cafe Urban. Paul, tell us a little bit about where you grew up and set the scene a little bit for us. What was it like growing up in Thailand?
Actually, I grew up I had a pretty good life. You know, I grew up with maids and nannies, and basically I didn't have to do anything since I was born. I grew up at a time that my family pretty much has everything that I needed, or most people would need or would want. It's always been a plan of most Thai people after graduate from college that we would go on to the graduate school in either in the United States or in England or somewhere outside Thailand for their degree.
Do you go through high school in Thailand?
Yes.
That how that works?
Correct. Actually, I was born and grew up in Thailand, and I you know, went through kindergarten, high school, and college. As soon as I finished college in Thailand, and my mom, as a plan, would want me to come to the United States for the graduate school. And then I left. Yeah, that was back in 1996. Mm-hmm. That's when I left Thailand, when I was 20.
And you had completely covered all your kind of formal education in,
correct,
in the Bangkok area?
Exactly. I got my bachelor degree in business accounting in Thailand. So my mom and, of course, my family would like me to pursue a graduate degree in the States in whatever area I'm interested in.
And you were the baby in the big,
correct,
big family.
When I grew up, yeah, exactly. I'm, you know, it's a traditional family. My dad was born in China. You know, he's very old school. So
he immigrated from China
to Thailand. Correct. When he was 17. Right.
Uh-huh, young man.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. And then,
why?
I guess my grandma put him on the boat and sent him off that way, because back then China was about to turn to be communist, and my grandma wasn't sure what's going to happen. Dad has a cousin in Thailand, so my grandma thought that might be the best thing for her to do, to send my dad out. My dad worked with the cousin as a houseboy or housemaid, and met my mom, and they got married when they were 19 or 20 years old. It's very traditional Chinese family, so they kind of, the more kids they have, the free labor it becomes. So that's how it is. Anyway, so I'm the baby of 10, which, mm-hmm, is a huge family.
And your mother came from China as well?
No, actually my mom was born in Thailand. That's how my dad got citizenship.
He moved to Thailand, and they have the same thing as they do here.
Exactly. If you married to the citizen of that country, you become one. You naturalize to become a citizen of that country. Mm-hmm. So my dad became Thai citizen afterward. But since I was born in Thailand, so automatically I became Thai citizen. Back to the story, I graduated from college. So I came over here for graduate school. Did not plan on living here forever and ever. My plan was to come here, get a degree, and move back to Thailand. And then for some reason, I wasn't sure what happened to me. And I just fell in love with the country, the opportunities, and the things that it could do for myself. I decided to live on, to pursue my dream of living here in the United States. And as my mom knew, I wasn't sure why she did. I guess mom knows everything. She told me before I left, she said, if you could be able to live in the United States legally, not illegal. I won't support you on that. If you be able to live in the United States legally and have a life, please do so. Which is kind of, it didn't alert me anything. It's just like, oh.
How old were you then?
I was 20. So, and I came over here, you know, got my first master's degree in marketing, and I worked for a company in New York, in Manhattan. And then I realized, like, you know, I really don't want to go back to Thailand right this minute. Then the only way I could live in the United States legally is to continue to be a student. So I went back to school again. Of course, luckily, my family support the tuition. Otherwise, it wouldn't be tough. And also, international student, we pay higher fees on school. They consider us a foreign student. Foreign student requires paperwork in order to be able to live here legally and be in the system for U.S. immigration to be able to control where people are in this country, what status they're in. I went through those. I went back to school after I graduated with a second master's degree in information technology. I got a job offer in San Francisco. That was back in the year of 2000. That was a dot-com boom. So basically, I sent 15 resumes out. Literally the next day, I got 13 interviews.
That's when it was really exploding and they needed tech help. And
exactly.
You happen to have the credentials.
I just happened to have the credentials. And I got a job offer who I never thought it was a dream job. And the company offered me to stay longer by sponsoring a visa under highly skilled trained type of visa. They call H-1B. That majority of people who come to the United States under that degree would fall into. Back then, it was lucky because typically this type of visa is only allow 65,000 visas per year throughout the world, meaning you can apply anywhere you are in the world, but only 65,000 visas available.
Which is very, it's very difficult.
Very difficult.
To get that you got an H-1B visa is amazing.
Correct. Because back then it's really tech boom, and under Clinton administration tripled the number from 65,000 to 195,000. I was lucky to get those. However, that's a timeline. That H-1B allows only 6 years to be United States legally, which means during that 6 years, you got to figure out how to stay here permanently, which the next steps would be a permanent residence. That's the next step that everybody would go through.
Right. So you've gone through two student visas.
Then
the work visa.
Right. And then during those 6 years, we got to figure out by finding us another sponsorship, or the company that I work for sponsor me to be a legal resident. I was lucky on that part, but I worked hard at it. I really worked hard at it. Be loyal to the company. I put my best foot forward, everything I did during those times with the company. And the company has rewarded me for that, which is amazing.
Right, because it's good for them, but it is also expensive for them too.
Correct.
It's not free. You can't just fill out the paperwork.
Correct, because you have to jump through, the more of the paperwork involved, that they have produced a lot of things that U.S. immigration would require to make sure this is not a bogus or this is not a fake to sponsor somebody to live in the United States. By the time I got a residency, it's under Bush administration, which is surprisingly, they have changed, I guess, during that time, it started to change, move everything from paperwork to paperless. Everything starting to become electronic. So typically, or most people who apply, if you remember back then, whoever applied for a permanent resident status, it would take minimum at least 3 to 5 years to get processed from the day you start to get done.
So if you were on a 6-year work visa,
right,
you have to start almost immediately.
Almost like within a year after.
Uh-huh.
Right, a year after, and then you get there. By the time that the end of the 6 years, then you could become a residency if you're lucky. Again, there are quite a lot of technicalities that you have to go through. It depends on the country where you're born. There's some very long wait list if you were born in China or India, Filipino and Mexican as well.
Yeah, and people don't realize how different the quotas are of limitations.
Correct.
Of where you're born can say you're going on a huge wait list versus a short wait
Correct.
List, depending on the country.
Exactly. I was lucky that I was born in Thailand. I was a Thai citizen. So there was no wait list on that. And because I was applying under residency under employment base, mm-hmm. and the position I was holding, I did not have to wait too long. And also the moving process from the paperwork, from the paper to paperless, which means electronic. From the day I started filing the residency to the day I got my card in my hand, surprisingly, it takes 10 months.
That's almost unheard of.
It's unheard of, actually. It's unheard of. I had friends who applied way before me and got stuff way after me. And I was like, whoa, really? Sometimes if you think about, yeah, why did we require this hideous paperwork? But you know what? There's a reason for it. The reason is they just want to make sure that you are not burdened to the taxpayer of the United States. If you become a burden to the taxpayer, and taxpayer can complain about it, like, why are we supporting these people who's not a U.S. citizen? And that becomes a burden of the country. It becomes an expense.
So that's part of why they're so thoroughly checking, and why also in the news, when you have people say, oh, we should check people more thoroughly, we do check people very thoroughly.
Correct. We still want and need people who are qualified for a job. Everyone who comes to this country and decided to stay on or to live on, like me, as example, some people think, oh, it's just to come here to dig the gold. Honey, there's no gold anymore. Literally.
The gold is gone.
But if you can interpret and look closely, what is that gold means? That gold means opportunities. If you find it, that's a gold. And luckily, I found that goal. I found the opportunities and I dug in and I found it.
And so you found your own gold.
Correct.
In San Francisco, a different kind of gold than the metal.
Exactly. So you know, and that's what I always say, because this country is so large and so huge. United States becomes a continent, North America continent, which means the size of the country is so large and huge. There's so much and so many opportunities if you can find them. Once you find them, you it seems like you win a lottery.
So search for your own gold. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Paul Chansing-Thung, who's talking with us about his immigration experience into the United States from Thailand. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth. Paul, what happened? You got your permanent residency. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for you?
To become a permanent resident is almost equal to be a citizen. The only exception that we permanent residents cannot do is to vote on federal level.
So you can vote
locally?
Locally at the state level?
At state level. However, being a permanent resident doesn't mean you are secure. If you commit a federal crime, for example, even if you get DUI, you can be deported still. But if you become a U.S. Citizen, you cannot be deported any longer because you became a citizen of the country.
So it's one step away from pure safety is the permanent residency. Not quite.
But that's always good. And there's always, you know, pros and cons to be a U.S. citizen. Of course, everything's always, you know, of both sides of the story. Depends on however people want to do. I'm happy with my status, with my residency. The permanent resident has to renew the card or the status every 10 years. All we have to do is just file a new paperwork. I mean, not start over. It's just say renewal. And that's all it is. Just they want to make sure that you're not committing any crimes or anything inside the United States or even outside. Just make sure you're still a good citizen, you're still in good standing, and then they renew it. Other than that, everything, we have the same rights. Same equal rights. Unless you want to change to become a citizen, that's quite a bit of a deal that you have to do more paperwork just to prove that you're still in a good standing mm-hmm. of being a citizen.
You're content with the residency.
Mm-hmm. So for now. And another thing is because I am a resident, permanent resident, because I'm not a U.S. citizen. So still, I'm a Thai citizen. I'm still holding Thai passport. which means when I travel to the country that is required a visa, that's only the hassle that you have to go through. For example, if I want to go to Europe, if you are a U.S. citizen, you don't have to get a visa to get inside European countries as a tourist. But when I am a Thai citizen with a U.S. resident, I still do require to get a visa because it's based on the passport that you have, which I have Thai passport.
So it's a little bit more complicated when you travel. You have to figure out
which countries
Thailand want, or what would the country want from Thailand, not the U.S.
Correct. Exactly. And I'll come in and go in and out United States just like I'm a citizen.
You've been in here long enough in this country,
mm-hmm.
where you've seen things ebb and flow, go up and down in terms of security alerts, mm-hmm. and fear and the 9/11,
right.
things that happen. When you've come and gone, have you noticed a difference in how you're treated when you go through the borders, or?
Not so much. And I would say the only thing that they do is they tighten more security. When I come into the United States, of course, they check paperwork thoroughly, making sure nothing is suspicious. All the citizen and standard of the status are in order, making sure that you're not here illegally, you didn't commit any crime, or you didn't have any federal crime against or case against you personally. That's all. I have no problem when they tighten security.
So you haven't felt singled out or really extra checked at the borders? You haven't experienced that yourself?
No, I have not.
Particularly?
No, and I
Some people may, but you don't.
I don't feel that, because perhaps I understand why they do what they do. If they don't do, then I might be scared. Why don't you do what you're supposed to do?
Do you see differences in security between Thailand and the U.S.?
Not so much, actually. Thailand may be a little bit loose. And because maybe I'm a Thai citizen, they just don't care. You can come in and go anytime because you're a citizen of this country. So I don't feel that way when I go in go back home. But when I, let's say, for example, if I go to China or Hong Kong or Japan, to those countries, they tend to be a little bit more strict because, well, you are a tourist. We don't know whether you're going to disappear on us. If you do, how we can find you.
Well, actually, my observation of Thailand was that it was thorough security, but more friendly than
more
the U.S.
They're more friendly, I guess, because they try to, perhaps they just want to bring in more people into the country. Most of them are friendly. Sometimes they even ask me, oh, what do you do? I mean, of course, that's the same standard question. So, like, what do you do? When they say, I do this, they say, oh my God, I'm so excited. And it becomes like, we are chatty. And it's like, okay, I don't need to be chatty with you because the people behind me need to go through too. So, yeah. So, I don't experience those as much like others do. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, I might find one, maybe a couple of times, maybe that's kind of tend to be more strict.
What about in Boulder County or in Denver? Have you felt discriminated against because of the color of your skin or your race? I'm wondering what your experience is with that as a businessman and just a person.
As a business person and also as a citizen or a person, human, I personally don't feel it. I don't feel it that way. Perhaps I've been here long enough. I've been here, this is my 21st year, actually. It's like half of my life here in the United States. So I don't feel those. I felt a little discrimination when I first came to the United States, to upstate New York. That could be hard. And I was, why was I being treated differently? But now I don't. Perhaps I didn't care much about it. Because people can judge you however you want, whether you're white, you're black, you're Asian, or Mexican, or whoever. They can judge however they want to judge. But most of the time, I have found that people are friendly in Boulder, Longmont County area, Denver area. It seems like this is a small town, but actually this is a diverse city. there are a lot of people coming from all over the world to be in this area, in Boulder, in Longmont, in Niwot, in Denver. So I don't feel being discriminated at all.
What's your experience been as a gay man? In terms of, have you felt like as a permanent resident that has changed in any way, or pulling all these different identities together, being Thai, being gay, being a permanent resident, being a Thai citizen, mm-hmm. when you pull all your different, those are just a few right. of your identities right. together.
Well, I would say not in the last 7 or 8 years. I feel comfortable and safe about it. Perhaps it has something to do with my own personal thoughts. I perhaps care what other people would think about me more, and then I would feel a little bit insecure about that. But the world is changing. Everything is opening up. People tend to be more acceptable, whether you're gay, you're straight, you're lesbian or not, or you're transgender. We're all the same. People understand now it is a human. This is another person. We all do have the same feeling. We all feel love. We all feel hate. We feel dislike. We feel like. We have all the same emotional, just like everyone else. I don't see myself like that. And perhaps because of that, maybe unconsciously, I would do anything I could to have people perceive me differently. I don't need to be labeled. I don't need to be told what I am or what you are and who you are. I don't need those. Maybe because of that, I would do anything I could to make sure my life is successful. So people don't see me, oh, you're a gay Asian man from Thailand, blah, blah, blah. No, I want them to see me, oh, this is a successful person who can live here legally and be happy with the situation, the city, and the people who live in the area. And that's been my goal, and I think I have achieved that, because I have not seen anybody come over and say and look at me or discriminate me in a way like, oh my god, you're so gay and you just this and this and that. I have never seen that, nor have I ever come across with that. Even sometimes people don't have to say anything, but you can see from the look. I did not get that look from anyone mm-hmm. since I've been in this area or been in this mm-hmm. in the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, the world is opening up, the world is changing, mm-hmm. and people tend to be more acceptable.
How do you respond to some of the kind of nasty rhetoric or some of the things said kind of just broadly about immigrants, mm-hmm. kind of just acting like everyone is the same, which obviously you're an example of the many different kinds of people who immigrate to this country and have
right.
since the beginning.
Well,
so how do you respond? I mean, how do you react?
How do I react to it? Actually, the only thing I would react, or I said, you know what? If you just open your eyes, because now basically you live in the turtle shell, you live in that shell. You don't know there's a world outside this. And that's why don't be narrow-minded. Open up your eyes. Open up your world. Put your life in their shoes. And then you see, because those people don't put their life in other people's shoes. So they have no idea. You think, oh, it sounds easy. Okay. Oh, yeah. Even now, some of my friends are like, oh my God, it's so easy just to, you know, leave from one country and plant yourself into another country and be successful. If you think it's that easy, well, perhaps it's my fault to put that facade on the front. But actually, behind the scene, you have no idea how much we have worked, how much I have worked to get to this point in life. It's never easy, but it's not that difficult if you're willing to do so. Everyone would put all immigrants in the same bucket. Whether you're good or you're bad, it's all in the same bucket, because there's no differences between one to another. If you reverse a situation, if you were them and then they were you, how would you feel about it? Just open up your eyes and try to understand where they're coming from. Of course, everybody wants a better life, but don't think that they just come over here and get a better life. It's not automatic. No, it doesn't work that way, because everybody has to work. Everybody has to work hard to get to what they want. Most of the time that I've seen a lot of immigrants, they work hard. Even who works at the field, I mean, I feel it. I feel them. And I even sometimes I say, you know what? If I cannot do what they do, not because I can't, but I don't have ability to do what they do. If you see them harvesting potatoes or tomatoes or corn, it's not that easy. They break their back. They bend over backwards to get just minimum wage. It's not easy. Are you willing to do so? No, you wouldn't. Because sometimes you think you're better. Every now and then, I would say, put your life back to basic. Back on earth. And then you see. Walk on the ground. Take the bus. Walk. And then you see the life from different angle. Just put your life in their shoes. Because I think over time, people just keep going. And those fluff comes in. And be a part of you. And you think, oh, this is me. But really, think years ago, 30 years ago, you didn't have those. You could live. You could walk. You could go to class. You could go to work without a car. You could walk. You can wait for the bus for an hour. You could. And you did. And why you wouldn't do it today? Try. Sometimes. It's really, I took the bus from Boulder back to Longmont. And I walked for 3 miles to work. And my business partner was asking me like, oh, I can pick you up. I said, no, you don't. And they asked me why. And I said, because every now and then we all should go back to earth, back to basic. Think the day that you didn't have any, and then you appreciate what you have today.
This is Karen Rayforth. This has been Outsources. And we've been speaking with Paul Chantanthong about immigration, his experience coming from Thailand to the United States to be a permanent resident. Thank you for talking with us, Paul.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. I hope you guys get something out of me or see things from different angle.
Okay? I hope the listeners have definitely gotten that perspective.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And now for upcoming events. From August 10th to the 14th, Wyoming Pride marks all of their events. There's live entertainment and camping at the annual rendezvous, wyopride.org, for more information. On the 11th, Out on the Farm, which is a benefit for Out Boulder. This is a farm-to-table food paired with beer. For tickets, go to outboulder.org. On the 17th at C Cinema in Denver, Her Story, to watch the film and meet the cast afterwards on a panel discussion, go to C Cinema for information. This is a benefit for the GLBT Center in Denver. On the 20th, you can join in Colorado AIDS Walk or 5K. Go to ColoradoAIDSProject.org to get all the details on how to sign up. And on the 20th, Ally Awards, which will be held at the Four Seasons this year. And this is a One Colorado benefit. So it's one-colorado.org. Those are some of the key events for next week. And tune in to Outsources at 6:30 on KGNU 88.5, 1390 AM, or anytime at kgnu.org. And look us up on the schedule, Outsources. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth. Have a great evening.